Ah. I hadn't hit a note that high in a long time, Brother Paul. No problemo. That's good singing tonight, amen? We're going to go higher next week. Oh, my. You'll have to get some of them little kids over here next week if you get any higher. Turn it over to them, man. All right. Well, we've got a... Huh? Oh, let's hear it, brother. Yeah, Buddy and Harold in the house. Good to see you guys. Huh? Well, I want to hear it. Let's hear it, Miss Vicki. Bone marrow's making blood. 2,230. What do they want her numbers to be? A lot higher than that, but we're heading in the right direction. Okay. Yeah. Just because her body's not used to making blood for so long? Okay. Okay. Amen. That's a good blessing. And then I've got a note here from, this is Ryder Cameron's mother, and it just outlines basically her thanks to the community for praying and her apology to emotional distress that Ryder's disappearance has caused. But she is very thankful. And then she just puts to bed here, we would like to clarify that Ryder was not a runaway, as the media has portrayed, and instead a teen whose impulsive lack of good judgment put her in a potentially dangerous situation. So as you think about this young lady, you know, think about 15 years old, you know, the noodle's just not cooked. I mean, it's just, you know, the judgment center in the front of the brain for a 15-year-old boy or girl is just not there. And a girl gets her judgment before a boy does. I mean, let's be honest. So, but anyway, there has been a faulty information presented that Ryder was with a boyfriend, hiding out from the authorities, leaving the family clues, all to fake her own kidnapping and plan her abduction. Although many would like us to share the whole true story, that is not our intent, but rather to point out that there's always more to what the media reports and the rumors that are spread. We are asking each of you to know that your efforts brought home a young girl who was in danger. After this, we plan to focus on repairing and rebuilding our family. That really needs to be our prayer now. Amen? Is that reconciliation happens and relationships are rebuilt. And trust is all that stuff, you know, and that's going to take time, right? Repairing and rebuilding our family, and will not comment on any further gossip and discrepancies surrounding her disappearance. We feel truly blessed to have each person in our community, in our church, in our neighborhood, in our lives, who is supporting our family through this difficult time. Sincerely, the Cambrons, all right? So, praise the Lord. Two praises, amen? Two praises. Any other praises or testimonies? Anything else? No? Nothing? God is good all the time. God is good, amen? What else? Anything? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Amen. That's a praise. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You bet. All right. I'm going to check my phone here and make sure it's on Saliento. Somebody was getting a call Sunday morning. It wasn't me. That's all right. Just answer it and tell them the pastor's busy. He can't talk right now. All right, we're in Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, let's look at verses 13. We'll read 13 through the end of the book. Ruth chapter 4, beginning in verse 13 to the end of the book. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13 through the end. Have you found it? You can stand if you'd like or sit if you'd like. It's okay. It's Wednesday night, kind of a Bible study setting, but we can stand. It's all right. Ruth chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, the Word of God reads this. It says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her. And the Lord, what does it say? And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron was born Ram, and to Ram, Amminadab. And to Amminadab was born Nashon, and to Nashon, Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz, Obed, and to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse, David." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. May you add your tremendous blessing to it, Lord, and we just pray our minds would be attuned and open on this Wednesday evening to glean what you would have us receive from your word tonight. Apply it to our hearts, make us more to the image of Christ. And may we take the good news, the good message, may we take the gospel out of this place tonight, and may it be on our lips and on our minds the rest of this week. No matter what we have coming, no matter what faces us, no matter what comes against us, may we turn to Christ and turn to Jesus for strength and for help in all that we seek to do and be. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. May he add his blessing to it. This last chapter, chapter 4, we said focuses on three persons. We said we've got a what? We've got a bridegroom, we've got a bride, and we've got a baby. Now, we've covered the bridegroom. In covering the bridegroom, we talked about the meaning of redemption, buying back something, right? We talked about the marks of the Redeemer. He had to be a near kinsman. He had to be a near relative. He had to be able to pay. He had to be financially well off enough to pay a price. And finally, he had to be willing to pay. Just because he had the money, he also had to be willing to give it. And then we talked about the method of redemption. What was the method? We said it was love and obedience. Love and obedience. Love and obedience. Well, those two things will cover so much in our lives if we'll just be lovers and obey. Lovers and obey. I'm telling you, that'll cover a bunch if we just simply love and obey. Amen? And then tonight we begin with last week we talked about the bride. Now, as we close that out, we just had two verses we were really looking at, verses 11 and 12. We made a couple of declarative statements. We said, notice the wonderful changes that came into Ruth's life when she trusted Boaz and allowed him to work on her behalf. She really got blessed, amen? She really received a lot there. And then we said one of the many images of the church in the Bible kind of transitioned and tried to perhaps apply it to our own time. We talked about one of the many images of the church in the Bible is the bride of Christ. And we read that passage in Ephesians chapter 5. Amen? Now tonight, we begin afresh looking at the third person that we want to focus on in the last chapter of the book of Ruth, and that is the baby. The baby! Amen, it's the baby! We get to talk about the baby now, right? That's always a good thing, right? Oh, babies are sweet, amen? That is the point of the last part of this book. It's the baby. God has been gracious to Ruth back in Moab by convincing her of the fact that she had, as part of the Moabites, she had been worshiping the wrong God. And thus, she exercised, after she's convicted of that fact, she exercised her faith to trust God, and he saved her. She is an Old Testament saint. You will see, if you end up in heaven one day, you will see this woman again, Ruth. Amen? His grace continued when she moved to Bethlehem, for he guided her to the field of Boaz, where Boaz fell in love with her. Remember, there were no markings on the fields. The boundaries were hard to determine, right? But the sovereignty of God took her to the field of Boaz, and kaboom, you know, the love connection or whatever. I mean, you know, they got smitten with one another, right? And a romance was begun, right? It's later turned into a beautiful marriage. God's grace continued at the town gate. When they go there, Boaz goes there to take care of the matter. And lo and behold, who's walking by? It's the near kinsman. He gets him to sit down. He gets the witnesses to sit down, the elders of the town. They sit in the city gate, which is, you know, kind of like their civic center. They sit there and they discuss this. And what happens? The near kinsman rejects Ruth, but Boaz purchases her. Amen? He buys her. He redeems her, right? And then after the marriage, God poured out his grace on Ruth and Boaz by giving her conception and then by giving her the safe delivery of a son whom they named Obed, which means servant. Servant, right? Here it is, servant. Now, God would use this baby to be a source of blessing to many. We sang, "Make me a blessing," or "Let me be a blessing." We sang that song, yeah. I'm telling you, my goodness, if we'll think about my life as service to others, your life will touch so many people. I mean, friend, you won't even know, you won't be able to fathom how many people you've touched until you get to the other side with Jesus. You just will not. If you approach life as a servant. A lot of people approach life as a consumer. A lot of people approach life as, I've got rights. A lot of people approach life as, I want it this way or I want it that way. But if you approach it, I want to serve. Well, I want to tell you the blessings. Kaboom. I mean, it just opens up. The blessings just open up. God would use this baby to be a source of blessing to many. First of all, Obed was a blessing to Boaz and Ruth. Now, this was no ordinary baby, for it was God's special gift. God's special gift. We read in the passage, don't read it. He allowed her, what did it say? Oh, let me get there. Oh, my goodness. Where is it at? 13, thank you. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her. And the Lord enabled her to conceive. And she gave birth to a son. The idea there is perhaps there were some difficulties with getting pregnant. The Lord enabled her. So this baby was a special gift to Boaz and Ruth. And what a blessing little Obed was to their home. But when we think about babies, oh, the little babies. Amen. I'm so thankful it's y'all's little babies now. My little babies are growing up, right? But aren't they sweet smelling? Man, don't you want to just sop them up with a biscuit? I mean, babies are just so pretty and special, and boy, you just want to hold them, and they make them little noises and all that, everything's going on. Yeah, man, every baby is a special gift from God. Amen? Every baby. And should be treated that way. I think about this, this little girl. Oh, they found her in Arkansas, her remains. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it just breaks your heart. Now, she's not an infant, but she's, you know, you see pictures of her, and she just looks like a special little girl, right? I mean, it's just horrific. Right? Every baby is a special gift from God and should be treated that way. Every baby deserves a loving home. Every baby deserves caring parents who want to raise the child in the training and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. We were in Ephesians 5 last week. Now, what a great privilege it is to bring new life into the world, amen? And then to guide that life so it matures to become all that God has planned, amen? Obed was a blessing to Boaz and Ruth, but secondly, Obed was also a blessing to Naomi, a blessing to Naomi. His grandmother, informally, when you read this passage here, and I'm losing it again. Thank you, sir. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel." But where is it where it talks about? The Naomi, there it is. Thank you, brother. Then Naomi took the child and laid him. When you looked at two verses last week, and now you're looking at so many, it's sensory overload for your pastor, right? 16. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. That is a way of saying that grandma, that Nana, grandmother, she is informally adopting him as her own son and became his foster mother. In other words, you want to get to Obed, you're going through who? You're going through Nanny. You're going through Nanny for sure. Look out. Nanny's watching Obed pretty close. Naomi would have the comfort of knowing that the family name would not perish but increase in fame. Remember when Naomi came back from Moab, how down she was? How everybody said she had aged so much? I mean, bitterness was eating her up, right? I mean, she was not living the grace life. She was not living the victorious life. She was living in defeat. She was down. But how grace has turned it all around. Amen? Obed would not only bring blessing to Naomi, but Obed would bring blessing to Israel. Obed was the grandfather of King David, one of Israel's greatest rulers. And when the name of David is mentioned, I won't say everybody, but some people, when David's name is mentioned, we usually think of either young David and the sling and the stones and Goliath. Or we think of the older David, not where he's supposed to be, and we think about the trouble he gets into with Bathsheba. But man, you study the life of David. David did commit a great sin. He did slay the giant, but he was also a great man of faith whom God used to build the kingdom of Israel. He led the people in overcoming their enemies. He led the people in expanding their inheritance. He led the people, most of all, he led the people in worshiping their God. That's the kind of king he was, right? He wrote worship songs for the Levites to sing, and he devised musical instruments for them to play. He spent a lifetime gathering wealth for the building of the temple, and God gave him the plans for the temple so his son Solomon could do the job. Whether he had his hand in a sling or on a sword, or whether if he had his hands playing a harp, or whether if he had his hands holding a song of praise, David was a great servant of God who brought untold blessings to Israel. He comes through Boaz. He comes through Obed. He comes through Jesse. He gets finally to David. Amen? Obed would bring a blessing to the whole world. You say, where are you going with that? Well, the greatest thing God did for David was not to give him victory over his enemies or wealth for the building of the temple. The greatest privilege God gave him, talking about David, was that of being the ancestor of the Messiah. David wanted to build a house for God, but God told him he would build a house, in other words, a family for David. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now, David knew that the Messiah would come from the kingly tribe of Judah because he knew what Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 through 10 said. But nobody knew which family in Judah would be chosen. God chose David's family, and the Redeemer would be known as the son of David, as Matthew chapter 1:1 says, and we've already preached on Sunday morning, going through the genealogy of Jesus Christ as we begin this study in the Gospel of Matthew. Think about it. Little did those Bethlehemites know that God had great plans for that little boy. Obed would have a son named Jesse. Jesse would have 8 sons, the youngest of which would be David the king, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 through 13. What is the point? The point is this. Remember this the next time you hold a baby or a child, that little one might be one for whom God has planned a great future. You just don't know. There's a medieval teacher who always tipped his hat, so to speak, to his pupils, to his students. Scholars say that he had the right idea, because you never knew who was going to be a ruler or who was going to be the next emperor, right? Right? You better be nice to those whom you've been placed over in authority of, because you never know one of these young bucks what they're going to become. Now, what's interesting here, bring this one last note out, and then we'll get into our prayer time. You remember the Moabites, right? And the Moabites come from an incestuous relationship with Lot and his oldest daughter, right? And the two daughters of Lot, they got their dad intoxicated on 2 different nights, and they had relations with him. And the oldest girl, that son that was born, they named him Moab. And out of that comes the Moabites. The Moabites were remember these guys, they were not a very kind people to the Israelites. They were they're just awful to the Israelites. The Moabites, because of the way they have treated God's people, the Moabites were not to enter the congregation of the Lord, as the Word of God says, even to the 10th generation. The passage I'm referring to is Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3. It says, "No Ammonite or Moabite shall enter the assembly of the Lord. None of their descendants, even to the 10th generation, shall ever enter the assembly of the Lord." And we think about Ruth. How does she birth Obed, and then Obed, Jesse, and then Jesse, David? And how does he, I mean, Pastor, he wants to build the temple, and his son, I mean, we're only, what, 4 or 5 generations out. And Ruth was a Moabite, and Solomon builds a temple. What gives there? Well, the same thing that we started the book with, grace. She was redeemed. She was redeemed. She's a Moabite no more. Moabite no more. She's been brought in. Boaz brought her in. He redeemed her. The kinsman redeemer. She's part of God's clan now. Amen? Part of God's clan. And we notice here we've got a wonderful 10 generations from verse 18 all the way through verse 22. You go from Perez all the way to David. It's 10 generations. The little book of Ruth closes with 10 generation genealogy. Crescendos, it thunders with the name of David, King David. What can we say about the book of Ruth as we try to tie the loose ends up? Well, we can say this: never underestimate the power of grace, which is what we always do. We always underestimate the power of grace. Stop doing that. We've all got to stop doing that. Amen? Don't underestimate the power of grace. We see somebody or we look at a situation and we say, oh, that'll never. No. You just pray. Grace. Never underestimate the power of grace. Right? You just pray. You just be an encouragement. Never underestimate the power of grace. I mean, there could have been a lot of naysayers when Naomi and Ruth come busting the city limits of Bethlehem. Who are these two scraggly old gals? My soul, what are they doing? Boy, they sure are needy. And man, look how grace turned all that around, right? amen. Any questions on the book? Any comments? Great love story, amen. Yes, it is. God can pull you through. Amen. Sure. Oh, my. Amen, man. That's great. Amen, brother. Well, God works in mysterious ways. God works in mysterious ways, doesn't He? Amen? He can save a soul with softball in the gospel. He can save a soul with a Pinewood Derby in the gospel. He can save a soul with a youth group in the gospel. I mean, just anything. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let's have a time of prayer. Prayer requests. Yes, ma'am.